This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Headline to start this opinion.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Bless him. Whatever makes, Jim, whatever makes you happy. That's where I'm landing on that.
The Rich Eisen Show.
You can't deny that wherever he goes, he wins. And then he kind of has a weird exit.
You know who had that? Parcells.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice. NFL Network analyst Gerald McCoy. Plus your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just chatted with Daniel Jeremiah, my colleague from NFL Network, NFL Media Group, in addition to being the awesomeness that he provides for us in terms of talent evaluation, combine draft. He is also the radio analyst for the Los Angeles Chargers radio network. So we had him on about what Jim Harbaugh might be able to affect immediately for the Chargers, other than just showing some fans some enthusiasm unknown to mankind, and or previously unknown to mankind. And so if you missed that, don't worry. We re-air in 2 hours. We're also putting a couple of clips up already on our socials, as they say. And there's our podcast version of this show. All 3 hours, you can listen to it on demand wherever you get your podcasts. That's your right to do so. The Panthers just named Dave Canales, the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their new head coach. Okay. And so that is another job that is filled. And Seattle's job is open. The Seattle's job is open. Atlanta's job is open. The Commanders' job is open. And Belichick is only interviewed for one of them. That's Atlanta. And Dan Quinn is out there still. And Ben Johnson is out there. And he can't be interviewed until the Lions are done with Sunday's action. So Jim Harbaugh lands here in Los Angeles. It's getting late to real quick. Raheem Morris is sitting out there. How come he hasn't been hired?
Yep.
Is it possible that both Belichick and Vrabel will be left without a seat coaching in the NFL in 2024? Is that entirely possible?
Good for TV gigs,
I guess. I don't know if that's what Bill wants to do. Oof. He'd be terrific at it. He'd be outstanding at it. Boy, the Atlanta Falcons hold a ton of cards right now on this coaching carousel and how it may stop. They've interviewed 14 candidates. Oof. That's a ton. And just to confirm, I am not one of those 14 candidates.
Chris Brockman is.
It's funny today. I'm driving Xander to school.
Everybody.
I'm driving Xander to school. He asked me how much money Jim Harbaugh is going to make. And I told him, I said, it's rumored about $60-70 million. He goes, a year? I'm like, yeah. He goes, how come you're not a coach?
Great question.
That's what he said to me.
Great question.
And I told him, I said, in order to get to that level,
grind.
You got to grind. I should tell him Dave Canales' story.
Yeah.
Sold cowboy boots. Then he was the Carson High School offensive coordinator. Then the El Camino College special teams and tight ends coach.
Yep.
Staring into the abyss of what is he going to do with his life when Pete Carroll suddenly leaves and Lane Kiffin's now the USC head coach. Yeah, Zan, I don't think we want that, right? For dad?
You want to change jobs every year, 2 years.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Move around.
Let's get to Derek in Missouri. He's been hanging on. He got on the line. I saw him before we went on the air. Appreciate that. Derek, how you been?
Hey, Rich. So before I get to my discussion with you, you reiterated yesterday about the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl. And I could relate. I was there myself as well. And before that first play, before the ball flew over Peyton's head, Rich, I couldn't even hear myself think. It was pretty loud in that.
It was pretty wild. It was pretty wild how many people from the Pacific Northwest were right there in northern New Jersey, Derek. It was really wild.
And you're
almost as wild as the fact it was almost 60 degrees out. We're wondering how the first outdoor, Northeast Super Bowl was going to go. And it was a balmy night. And then it was a blizzard the next day. It was wild.
Yeah, my flight got canceled the next day, so I was stuck there for another day. But let's get down to brass tacks about Sunday. So the way I see it, what makes this conference championship weekend more intriguing and fascinating is that the way I see it, I mean, you have two matchups that did not happen in the regular season. So that's what makes it more like, in a way, like I could see like it could go either way on both sides for both teams on both games.
Of course.
And so with but you got to give the hand to Baltimore just because they've been so complete. Lamar's healthy. And they dismantled both Detroit and San Francisco and both their matchups in the regular season. And with KC, yeah, the switch has been flipped, but it's Kansas City. It's Pat Mahomes, unfortunately. And for me, as a Bronco fan, it's my pain and misery for the next 10 to 12 years or so. And one more thing, Rich, before I let you go. Josh Allen is not overrated. End of story.
I agree. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, don't you agree? It goes without saying that Sunday's games could wind up in any direction. Any direction. Kansas City, Detroit, Kansas City, San Francisco, Detroit, Baltimore, San Francisco, you know, Baltimore. Entirely possible. All of them. I could see every last one of those names painted in the end zone when I show up in Allegiant Stadium for NFL Network. Three Sundays from now. There's no question about it. And everyone's got the right to believe. Everyone's got the right to hope. Everyone has the right to, and fan bases to dream about it. There's no doubt about it. Detroit can absolutely win in San Francisco, and Kansas City can absolutely win in Baltimore. And both one seeds can absolutely curb stomp both of them, too. You're making it look like you don't agree?
No, I agree. I'm just thinking about the likely outcomes and scenarios. Like you just said, one seeds win big. I could see that happening. I can't see the road teams winning big. I think if either the road team wins, Detroit, Kansas City, it'll be close. Less than a touchdown if they were to win. I can't see Kansas City going into Baltimore and just boat racing them. I don't see that. And I don't see that with Detroit either because Detroit's defense, not as good.
No,
the two units. So,
You heard Daniel Jeremiah say in the first hour that the Chiefs need turnovers,
right,
in order to win. And you know, DJ's the man. I don't know about that. I mean, the defense needs to just play similar to what they played in Buffalo, and then all the Chiefs need to do is just don't have the problems on offense that we saw for much of the first 18 weeks of their season and show up. And let Mahomes be Mahomes. And he just shows up and he just like, again, like I mentioned, that this generation's Tom Brady. Just shut the crowd up and it's over. And I'll come in and I'll steal your souls too. It's entirely possible that they could win this without a turnover. I would think Detroit can also play the game that the Packers just did. You know, go in there and be more efficient on offense. Again, for that one, my ear is to the ground and my eyes are peeled about Deebo Samuel's health.
Right.
That is such a difference maker.
I feel like Detroit needs to turn that into a track meet.
I don't know how you can against. When was the last track meet you saw the 49ers play?
It was trending that way against Green Bay before it kind of buckled down in the second half.
I don't know. I didn't see their quarterback really do enough to be track meeting. You know,
it's gonna be a nice day, no rain. So
that's correct.
It's possible.
Manny in El Paso, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Manny? How you been?
Good morning, gentlemen. Greetings from a sunny 54-degree day in the Sun City.
What's
good
up?
To see Mr. DeTufel's back and no longer in the milk carton. Sir, we missed you.
Okay. Thank you, Manny. I'm back. They found me.
Well done, Manny.
The Ravens.
They found me.
The Ravens look so strong right now. I mean, Lamar Jackson throws one of the prettiest spirals I have ever seen. They're pretty much unstoppable. But then again, the same thing was said about the Eagles and the Bills. From who's left, I guess the feel-good story would be the Lions. Now, I'm a Cowboys fan. In no way is this a troll job. I find it better to talk things out than to keep them in. I wish it was part of that hug that TJ got after the Dallas debacle. My question is, which Cowboys era was more of a letdown? The Romo era or the Dak era?
In my
collection, sir, I have over 254 caps, and I'll only wear, and forever wear, one football team. That's the Dallas Cowboys. Along with these hats, I do have one certain Michigan Wolverine cap that I purchased because I'm a fan of you.
Thank you,
and
man.
This show. But without your blessing, if you tell me, no, Manny, I don't want you supporting my alma mater,
no.
I will gladly return it with no questions asked to the place of purchase.
Manny, I just understand this. You're not to return that hat. You're to wear it proudly. Because when you walk around planet Earth, people will say the words Go Blue at you, and it's like you're part of a community, and also it makes you look smarter. Understand that. People look at you and say, wow, that guy must be smart because he went to
Thank
Michigan.
You for that.
So I would do that.
I leave you with this, gentlemen. I leave you with this. As always, let's watch some sports. Be safe. Be kind. And never look at your phone while driving. Goodbye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, hey, Manny El Paso. You want it?
Yes, yes. TJ, answer the question, please.
Well, I mean, the DAC era is still upon us, so I, not having a crystal ball, I don't see the end of this era yet, so I can't say.
Well, to this point.
To this point.
What's been more disappointing?
Ooh, he's thinking.
Well, I mean, tough, Romo had the fake.
14 seasons on the team.
Romo had the botched snap. That ended the Parcells era.
Yeah, he had multiple.
There's the catch. There's the Dez caught it moment. So that's weird.
There's the.
And the Dak era has the couldn't spot the ball. And what the hell was that with Zeke? Right?
I don't look at the Zeke thing. There was 2 seconds left. And what we weren't going to throw an 80-yard Hail Mary anyway. So
okay, so that game was over.
That game was over.
Okay.
The botch, the not being able to place the ball, that was tough. I don't know, man. That Romo not being able to hold the ball for a kick attempt, though, that was rough.
That was tough.
That's tough. Like, Dak not being able to get the ball spotted, that's in the heat of battle, man. You're going 100. You're doing everything you can to win that game. And, I mean, things happen. But, like, to not be able to do this when you've done it probably 100 times, you know, that season, that's tough.
Let's take a break here because Rashee Rice is apparently a bit late. And let's take a break so we can get on the other side if he does arrive. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the show. More of your phone calls. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. All right, back here on our show, did you see? You didn't discuss it yesterday because so much happened. Did you see who got bounced out of the men's side of the bracket at the Australian Open?
I did, actually. I did see that.
Did you see?
Yep.
The result. And our friend, who doesn't know we're friends. And he has no idea that I've been challenging him from the seat.
No idea.
Mr. Alcaraz. Yeah. He lost. I'm telling you, he's gettable.
Rich.
I see holes, guys. I see holes.
In his game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're a clown, bro. Get out of my face, bro.
I don't know. He's so, staring at some Swiss every time.
I might be back on the, I think I can get 1 point off of him.
He is gettable, but just not by you, I don't think.
I have to make this happen.
That we play out. I mean, Nick Kyrgios said he could set it up.
Yeah, you know what? But he's traveling the world with his Lakers hat, turn his hat back. I don't think he's focused on what my needs are. Mm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't think he's focused on making this happen. We might have to just take it into our own hands.
Boom!
When you're out here, Indian Wells is around the corner.
It is.
So
that's what I mean.
He'll be in the area.
That's what I mean.
Come out to the
but
coast.
I think we call Nick and have him set it up when they're in Palm Springs.
I don't, or
he said he would do it.
Or come here. I mean. Come here to L.A.
Are we going to set up a court in here?
No. Oh. We can find it. There's many tennis courts in Los Angeles.
Why do you challenge him to pickleball?
I haven't played pickleball in a while.
How about this? You and Alcaraz against me and Kyrgios.
Dude.
Pickleball?
I'm done with you and pickleball. You had your shot, and then you bailed. Because you didn't want to get hurt.
I did not want to tear his Achilles.
My goodness.
I get it.
Who knew I was ahead of the curve on that? Roger should have listened to me.
Uh-huh. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The Associated Press has announced finalists for their end-of-season awards. We know who are the finalists to win awards and NFL Honors Night 2 Thursdays from now. And it's not 3 finalists, it's 5.
I saw that.
5 finalists. The 5 finalists for the most valuable player are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Dak Prescott, and Brock Purdy.
Oh,
Brock's a finalist.
No Tua or Tyreek on that list. Huh?
Nope. McCaffrey made it as the only non-quarterback. Hmm. And the 4 quarterbacks that made it were Allen, Lamar, Dak, and Brock Purdy.
Just the spec is real.
Well, he is.
Well done, Mike.
He is one of the 5 finalists for Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
McCaffrey's one of those, too. So he could sweep him. Could he sweep him? He's the Offensive Player of the Year.
I would say
and the MVP.
He's winning one of those awards.
And so is Dak. Dak's an Offensive Player of the Year candidate as well, along with Lamar, Tyreek Hill, and CeeDee Lamb.
Very well deserving. On all accounts.
The coach of the year. The 5 finalists are Dan Campbell, John Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, Kevin Stefanski, and Chris Brockman's favorite, Kyle Shanahan. He's there.
Okay. Well, let's see how he does this weekend.
Defensive player of the year. Here you go. There's 2 Dallas Cowboys. You want to guess who they are?
For what was
defensive player of the year, TJ?
Well, De'Ron Bland.
Yep.
And Micah.
Correct. And the others are TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, and Max Crosby. Those are your finalists for those big old awards.
That one's tough to pick.
So, 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll give you my 2 cents on why I would vote for those awards. Since the Associated Press won't give me a vote because they think I'm in the bag because I'm an NFL employee. That's still happening 20 years into my career. It's amazing. I need to furnish the Associated Press with facts. But at any rate, that's later on. I want to get right now to one of the best rookies we've seen at the position, certainly in Kansas City. He set the rookie record for receiving touchdowns for Kansas City with 7. And then in his first playoff game became the first rookie with 8 or more receptions, 130 or more receiving yards in a playoff game ever. Rashee Rice here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Rashee. How are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I want to hit the Wayback Machine to start this interview to that day where you showed up for a pre-draft workout at TCU and saw Patrick Mahomes there, much to your surprise. Is that correct? Did that happen?
Yes, sir, 100%.
can you walk me through that day? Why you were there? What you were thinking? And then what happened, Rishi?
Yeah. So Shane Bouchelle, my old quarterback at SMU, he happened to be in town training at TCU. And, you know, I went to SMU, so I was back in town, you know, after the combine and after training and stuff like that. So, you know, I went in there thinking I was just going to be able to run some routes with my old quarterback just to, you know, stay in the groove and just, like, to be able to throw with an NFL quarterback, you know, to get the time and stuff down like that just to see how much faster it would be. And then I walked in. I seen, Sky Moore, Justin Ross. I'm like, all right, like, these are the Chiefs receivers. And then I'm looking down, and it's warming up. It's Pat. I'm like, okay, this Pat. I got like in a little different today. You know, it's not just Ross. I might, you know what I'm saying? I got to make sure my Ross look good. You never know what he could say for me. And, you know, I guess, you know, he spoke on me. And, you know, this is what happened.
So when he started throwing passes to you, did what how did that come about?
It was just a bunch of wide receivers working out, running routes. And to be honest, I was just trying to get behind or in front of a receiver just so I could try to go at Pat every time. And somebody else knew that, though.
So you were jumping the line?
Yeah, I was jumping the line and trying to go very last just because I know Pat, you know, he's going to get one more rep just to be great. So I'm like, if I go last, you got to throw with me.
Okay. And so what conversation did you have?
Not much conversation. You know, he was just telling me how he wanted certain routes to be ran, you know, teaching us how to run certain routes. But other than that, it was just like, you know, good job today. But it wasn't too much, you know, it was too much I could leave with after that. I was just like, no, I got good work in that day. That was about it.
No, I understand. But there was no sense at all that you had made an impression at all with Mahomes?
I mean, Pat's been around a lot of great receivers. So sure. Me personally, I didn't go up to him like, hey, bro, how you think I did? It was just like, I know I did, you know, a good job today. I know I was signaling with the other receivers. And, you know, I guess just staying quiet probably, you know, helped me out the most. He seen how hungry I was just to be good and not be, you know, too worried about what everybody else was thinking.
Interesting. Interesting. So what happened on draft night, second round?
Yeah, draft night, I received a phone call from the Chiefs, and, you know, when I came in to watch it on TV, Pat called my phone, and, I mean, after that, I kind of woke up from a dream a little bit when my phone started ringing and said Pat Mahomes, and then Shane Bouchelle, they both, you know, calling my phone, and, you know, he's like, congrats, man. He's like, you know, we got to go get another one. I'm like, yeah, I'm all for it, bro. Like, I'm ready for this.
So any sense at all that by chance moment where you're working out, trying to get better, thinking I'm going to catch passes from somebody who knows about the NFL and throws like the NFL, and it turns out to be Patrick Mahomes, any sense at all that actually might have put you on a second-round radar screen for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's exactly why I got, you know, picked where I got picked because, you know, I was running routes with Dak and, you know, before I got to, you know, run routes with Pat, and it's just like a different sense, you know, when I was running routes with Dak, it was just like I'm actually, you know, just running routes so he can get his throws in. When I was running in routes with Pat, it was just like, you know, he really wants me to run this route correct so he can see the time and so he can see what it's going to feel like. So that's probably, you know, we just got a good feel for that like that.
So you think he might have even been trying you out?
Yeah, in a way, yeah, I think he might have been.
Oh, my. And now look at this, right? Now look where you are.
Right.
Yes, life is amazing. It's so amazing. So what has your ascension been like from your perspective? Difficult? Trying? What? How would you describe it? Because it looks simple and it looks easy from where we're sitting, Rishi, to be straight up. It looks like you've got the light's been on since the very jump.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, I can't lie, it wasn't easy at all. The first thing was getting in shape for training camp, just to be able to get my muscles, make sure my muscles not getting fatigued just from, so much running I haven't, ever done in my career. And then it was, taking everything I learned from the meetings to the field. And the more and more I did that, the more I learned how to take notes and key in on certain things that stood out to me so that I could know what my assignment was on certain plays. And that just kind of made it easier for me to simplify stuff when I got on the field.
And then just the pressure, one would say, because again, I know pressure makes diamonds, and I understand somebody in your position who plays your position and how expertly you play it, you probably welcome it. But all that said, that's Patrick Mahomes who expects you to be in a certain spot. That's Tyreek Hill's old spot, right? I mean, and this has now been placed kind of on you, and I'm wondering how that's been landing on you, Rishi.
To be honest with you, like you said, pressure makes diamonds. I've been, for a long time, even in college, I had to wait for my opportunity, 3 years until I could finally, show that I was able to be a number one receiver. And here in the NFL, it's about, taking advantage of your opportunities. And I feel like, with the media bashing the receivers and, just us knowing that we need somebody to rely on besides Trav and Pat, it was just like, I mean, who else to do it? Why wait, a couple of years instead of just doing it now? I got drafted to a Super Bowl winning team, the best quarterback in the NFL. And it's like, they didn't come get me just to be a part of the team to ride the train. They got me to come have an impact on this.
Rishi Rice, the dynamic rookie wide receiver, the Chiefs here on the Rich Eisen Show. How has the conversation about your receiver room landed in your receiver room?
Truly speaking, it doesn't land in the receiver room. We don't care what nobody else got to say. Nobody, believed in us at the beginning of the year. And, only people that believe in us are the people that show up every day putting the work in. And we continue to show that on Saturday and Sundays when we got to play. And that's all that matters for us.
So you don't look around the room. And again, this is not at all a media thing from my perspective, that because we always talk about what we say and then ask players, do you hear what we're saying? And that's not trying to confirm my place in the world. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine if you really don't care what we say. And truly, like, I'll put my head on the pillow tonight and kiss my kids, right? But it does kind of surprise me that you don't bow up in a way when you hear the constant drumbeat that balls are being dropped and Mahomes needs some help. And you've been portrayed as the savior coming out of that room, Rashid. Mm-hmm. None of this is conversed. You don't talk about this stuff in your room at all?
No. I mean, we know, personally, we know that we got to fix certain things and we work on fixing that in practice and fixing that, getting extra work before and after practice. But, as far as me, becoming that guy or anything like that, none of that sticks out to me because, I come in to work the same way I did, the first day when I came here. So I'm really not too much focused on stuff like that. And, we're focused on winning.
So you are from, where are you from originally, Rishi? You're from Texas, right? Originally?
I'm originally from Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Okay. You were born in Texas and from Philly.
I was born in Philadelphia.
Okay. My goodness gracious. I hate Wikipedia sometimes.
All right,
you're born in Philadelphia. Good enough. All right, so you're from Philly. Was the game against the Dolphins the coldest day you've ever felt in your life?
Yes, in my life. The coldest ever.
How cold? You look cold, but how cold?
Yeah. Was it? It was so cold. When I breathed in my ski mask, like the heat coming out like from my breath turned into like water vapor on my mask. My hands and arms were numb. So like in order for me to make sure I was catching the ball, I just really had to look at the ball to make sure it was in my hands. It was cold like that.
Okay. Well, your eyesight's great. Cause my God, what a game you had. could you believe the game that you had in that cold then, Rishi? I mean, good Lord, what a night you had.
I mean, you could only do two things. You could either, be defeated by the cold, or, you know, come out and dominate and not let the cold bother you. So we had two options, and I don't think we wanted to be defeated at all today.
Okay, so the last two questions I have for you before I let you on, and I appreciate the time here in your busy Thursday before Championship Sunday. What are you seeing on film already with the Ravens? Your challenge that's presented to you on Sunday is what?
Yeah, the Ravens, you know, they play a lot of different defenses, and, you know, they're really good at disguising, you know, what they're actually going to, you know, what defense they're actually going to play. The corners, you know, those guys are, you know, long, aggressive guys. The whole defense is pretty aggressive, but the thing, you know, that they do the best, they rally to the ball, and as well as their linebackers. Their linebackers, you know, they run sideline to sideline, so we just know we got to, you know, complete the catches and, you know, just be ready for people coming down, be ready to strip and, you know, make big hits on us.
Okay. And what would it mean for you to play in a Super Bowl?
Man, it would mean everything to me. I don't even know. I can't even explain it yet. So I just got to get there.
I mean, your smile just hit your face when, as soon as I mentioned that, you know, you could play in a Super Bowl, Rishi Rich.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. And then I guess the last one for you is, now that you told me you're from Philly, you weren't rooting for the Eagles against the Chiefs last year, were you, Rishi?
No, I wasn't rooting for anybody.
Okay. Want to make sure. Very good. Hey, I appreciate the time. I'd love to, you know, meet you in person sometime soon, have you here in studio if you're out in Los Angeles. Congrats on everything you've done so far. Best of luck with you and the Chiefs in Baltimore.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you. That's Rishi Rice, the wide receiver from SMU, right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Baller.
Do you think they really don't say anything in the wide receiver room?
I don't know. It'd be hard to
know. And again, I take him obviously at his word.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good for them. The whole thing, like outside noise, but they have to hear the outside noise. But I guess they're not going to come in and say, did you hear what so-and-so said about us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
we can't catch
I mean,
a
they
cold,
may man. Internalize it, but they may not discuss it as a group. And, yeah. And hey, folks, get ready, because Super Bowl week is all about distractions. And we're the ones who talk about the distractions, not the players. We're the ones who ask the players about distractions. And many of us just want to hear in the media, hey, so if you admit you've got this distraction, that means we're being heard, which is exactly what many of us want to have confirmed. Can you confirm you're hearing us, please? Because we're talking into this microphone wherever the heck we're doing our job all season long. We'd love to know. So, yeah. But this is a real narrative. And his receiver mate, Kadarius Toney, has been inactive since that New England game where the ball went off his hands, rolled on his back, and then Mahomes. Was Mahomes picked off on Christmas? I don't know if that was his last interception of the season.
Let's take a look.
You know, I don't recall. I was on a plane for much of that Christmas Day game, just watching it as dots on my app.
Yeah, last interception was against the Raiders on Christmas Day. Okay. Yeah.
So. But good for him. He's like, I'll do it. I love that answer. He's like, I'm not going to wait just 2 years till I've supposedly blossomed. I'm going to do it now.
And then imagine you're just going for a workout. You walk in like, wait a second. Chief.
You're putting the pieces together.
Wait. You hear a voice downfield, like, wait a minute, that sounds like...
Is that Pat Mahomes? Now I'm going to line up and just catch passes from him.
Right. I'm going to skip
I do
line.
Love that story. I do love that story. Right. I'm glad you reminded me of that before, you know, when we just came on the air.
Well, I mean, that was the reason I drafted him in our fantasy football draft.
Is because you had heard that story.
Yeah, and I was like, all right, well, this kid...
That he strolls into TCU, he wants to catch passes from his old college teammate, Shane Buechele, is there, because he's from SMU, he's in the area, goes in there, and oh, he sees Sky Moore, he sees some other Chiefs, and then he looks around, oh, that's the Chief.
Let me get in
line. Let me get in line here. Let me catch... If I'm in last, you know Mahomes is always going to take that one extra rep, because he's... always wants to be one rep better.
And
so I'm gonna use his desire to be great for me to show I have a similar desire. So I'm going to catch passes from him. And then I'm like, well, did you go up to him afterwards and have a conversation? He's kind of like, no, I'm not going to go up to him and say, well, how do you think I did? Because I don't want to make it seem like, you know, I'm concerned about what others think. I'm confident in my own ability. I love that whole story. And he totally believes and he thinks that that is the reason why Mahomes gets on the phone after he's drafted saying, hey, you want to go play in another Super Bowl? And now they're one game shy of it. And I just love that story.
You would have to think Mahomes probably sent word to the higher ups.
Oh, to Brett Veach? Hey, I'm sure.
Worked out with this kid.
Wouldn't you ask for Patrick Mahomes thoughts on a receiver before you draft him?
Well, you better.
And now he's their most important wide receiver. Ready to roll. So Patrick Mahomes spoke today. He spoke about what? What is this? Oh, okay. Somebody asked him about his motivation going into the game.
Really?
Let's see what his answer is.
I think for us, it's just the challenge of going up against the best is what motivates you. I mean, they got the best defense. They got the MVP on offense. They have a great special teams unit. And they were the best football team throughout the entire season. So it motivates you in order to win the Super Bowl. You got to beat the best teams. And this is the best team that we've played so far this year. And it'll be a great challenge for us.
First of all, I love this guy for so many reasons. It's because he looks so sweet, right? Yeah. He looks like you, first of all, you want him to be your son. You want him to be you want him to be your friend. Can you be my friend, Patrick?
Yeah.
You want him to meet your kids because you know he's going to be a total sweetheart to them.
Sure.
Right. And you want him to you just want to be around him because he's so approachable and nice. And his voice sounds like a Muppet. You know what I mean? It sounds like it just reminds you of everything when you're a kid and you're friends with people who are nice and you just want to be around them. And deep down, you know what his answer for motivation is? You know, Mike, can you give me what were they really thinking? Because I do believe this. I do believe this deep down.
What were they really thinking?
This is what Mahomes want to say. Motivation. You know what my motivation to beat the Ravens is because they're in front of me.
Yeah.
And not just are they in the way, but they are the ones who think they can beat us, that we're vulnerable just because we won it last year and nobody's won back-to-back championships since Super Bowls 38 and 39, and this is Super Bowl 58, and you think we're gettable? Are you really thinking that? Because I'm going to go into your building and beat your asses. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be the toughest out you've ever heard of. So tough that I'm not going to be out. So you know what my motivation is? My motivation is greed. My motivation is
greed.
Is greatness. My motivation is to be the best ever. I bet you deep down, if you scratched so damn deep into the recesses of Patrick Mahomes, he's like pissed. People are saying Brady's never going to get caught. Who are you to tell him that? What? He's coming for you. That's what he's really thinking. That's the dichotomy, whatever you want to call it, conundrum of Mahomes. He's the nastiest, sweetest person you'll ever meet. Because he's coming for you. Who the hell do you think you are? Baltimore? Lamar? Okay, Lamar, that's great. I totally respect him. That would be nice for him if he wins, but not at my expense. What?
I thought you were going to say, who do you think you are? I am.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? He might have the Pete Weber in him. Who do you think you are? I am. Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Without the, you know, that move, you know, like that, I don't think is in his repertoire. That's not it.
If Mahomes hit a DX after a TD, you know, I don't even know what
I don't think anybody would know what to do. I don't think that's in his repertoire. But what's in his repertoire is a total cold-blooded individual That's cold blood.
Yeah, he's a killer, man.
Pulsing through those
veins.
We
saw that in the Netflix QB.
Right, and we saw it in Buffalo, and we may see it in Baltimore, and the Ravens may have what it takes collectively. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying this is what's in him when he's being asked, what's your motivation? He could just laugh. He's so nice to answer the question. You know, well, my motivation is this. This is my motive. It's like writing an essay. You need to have a subject sentence, and then you need to have a body of your essay, and then you have a conclusion at the end. My conclusion is I'm going to beat your ass. That's my conclusion. He'd love to say that, but instead he goes, no, this is going to be a challenge for all of us. Okay. I love Mahomes. He's just honestly, cut him, and the blood that comes out is cold. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Gerald McCoy is going to join us in hour number three. He made some noise the last time about what quarterbacks are elite or not.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
So in Carolina, they named Dave Canales the new head coach there, or they're about to make that official. And there were some thoughts that Mike Vrabel could get the job there, and instead it's going to be Canales. And you know Dan Morgan, the old linebacker, is now the GM there, right?
Right.
So if Dan Morgan had hired or been part of hiring Mike Vrabel, this made it into my timeline. This one's for you, TJ. This one's for you. Okay. I thought of you when I saw this in my timeline.
This could go either
Put
way.
It up right here. This would be Vrabel and Morgan talking to Rich Eisen at the Combine.
The Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, the Mean Gene. You as Mean Gene?
I imagine I'm the one doing the interviewing.
What's something Mean Gene.
Snack on danger, dine on death.
And Morgan and Vrabel would be.
Oh, what a rush.
It's a good one, Travis Hancock. WFNZ.
Yeah, sometimes when you say something makes you think of me, I don't know which way you're going to go with it sometimes.
I thought of you immediately.
Because sometimes it could be disrespectful sometimes, you know. Whoa. So, but that one wasn't. That was.
You know, that's a YP. That's not an MP. It's not an MP. That's a
with
YP.
All due respect.
I honestly immediately thought of you.
I like that.
Certainly because I needed to know who was flanking Mean Gene. I had no idea. And I knew you would know.
I did.
Thank you. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, right here on the program. So, okay, the Associated Press Awards finalists announced for this season, NFL honors the Thursday night before the Super Bowl at Resorts World in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey.
Okay, I saw a mock-up of what the stage is going to look like. It's going to be slamming.
Where are we sitting?
When you say we, that means
you and me.
Nah. No, those days are over. Were you my plus one where? Which one were you my plus one?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah. We had a great time.
It was great. Hope you enjoyed it. Did you take pictures?
He said, hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, my
it.
God.
Like, what are we doing?
Dude, you've been my plus one of a lot of places. Do we have that photograph of the day, you know, back when Jim Harbaugh made me the honorary captain? My buddy Paul Golan comes out. I've known him since the
pizza
fourth grade
days.
Fifth grade Paul, right? From Staten Island. We went to Michigan together. He went out there. You know who else was one of my plus ones? That guy. This was way before he was trolling on Jim, and he was taking. He was like, you know what? You look like Connor Stallions in that picture.
When you say trolling
on Michigan, look at you with the Michigan gear, and Jim. Jim lets you in on a very, very special weekend.
Troll on Michigan. I take umbrage with that.
Okay, very good. Well, at any rate,
great time.
Those were the plus one days.
It was great.
Went away a long time.
That was amazing.
Now what happens?
That you took him and let him.
You've got your own life. I got my own life.
I'm out.
Do you really want to go to NFL Honors? Do you really want to go to NFL Honors?
Kind of. I like going to that.
I'll figure out how to go. I'll get you some seats.
Me and Brock
let him
go.
Have that type of access to your program, and he trolls you like he does.
No. There's business to be conducted. I do business with you every day. I've got friends in high places around Roku, who's my plus one now, pal.
Oh, wow.
I was like that.
Wow.
Hey.
TJ's
I don't even know who you are anymore. Quite honestly.
Man, Brockman.
I mean.
You just fell from number one on the call
sheet. I've got a new plus one.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
He knows exactly who he is.
Murph?
This is shame. No, definitely not Murph. little more enjoyable as a company than Murph.
Wow.
At any rate, NFL Honors. So the AP's got these awards, right, as I just mentioned. And I'm not part of the voting. I'll be straight up. I've given up. I feel like I know a ton of football, and the Associated Press feels that because I'm an NFL employee, and it's not just me. It's a whole bunch of folks that work for NFL Network, and it's so offensive that I'm assumed that I can't speak my mind. So I'll say it here, who I would vote for. And wait a minute. Each time I have Roger Goodell's voice in my ear telling me who it should be. Absurd. It's absurd that so many people who work at NFL Network don't have a vote in this because we're supposedly NFL employees. And thus, our opinions are stunted or stilted or slanted. But I would vote as MVP Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Dak Prescott, Brock Purdy. I go Lamar Jackson. He is the MVP of this season. And I love McCaffrey. And I know it just speaks to his awesomeness and his greatness that he's actually cracked a quarterback award lineup for finalists. But hell yeah, Lamar did the work this year. He's gotten better. They follow his lead. He is unbelievable. And again, this is a regular season award, so you can't just say, look at what he did in the second half against the Texans. This is already done. The votes are already in. I know that, even though I'm not part of the voting. Offensive player of the year, I give it to McCaffrey there. Tyreek, Lamar, CeeDee Lamb, Christian McCaffrey, Dak Prescott. Man, I know what CeeDee did. I really do, TJ. He'd finish second in my voting. But I go McCaffrey there. I honestly think the 49ers are the one seed because of him, which is why he's on the MVP list. I think he and Purdy are going to split the vote. If anybody who thinks the Niners deserve a vote for MVP. But McCaffrey, that's the award that goes to whoever's. You know, if I'm a position player like McCaffrey, Tyreek Hill, and CeeDee Lamb, I'm like outraged they put quarterbacks in this category. It's like right? That's the MVP's for you.
Yeah, let us have this.
Get out of this category. Get out of here.
This is not for you.
Right. Exactly. That may finally, you know, if I was in charge, I would basically say no quarterbacks are allowed as offensive player of the year. I'm sorry. But it's McCaffrey. I would go McCaffrey there. Defensive player of the year. Man, oh man, this is such a tough one. I know Deron Bland had a bunch of pick sixes, and Micah was my pick going into the season. TJ Watt, Max Crosby, and Myles Garrett. It would be between Myles Garrett and Max Crosby, even though I know Watt was superb. Gosh, I'd eventually cast my ballot for Garrett. You know, number one defense in certain regards this year, and he was just a monster. And I've never seen anybody create a pre-snap penalty because he was motioning. I've never seen that before.
Because he was
motioning, and the Titans had two tight ends try and chip him. They had multiple people travel with him.
The guy who's pretending he's out dribbling the basketball.
Well, I mean, that, I know that's right. Crosby was superb, too, and he chose a coach. I don't know if that's part of a...
T.J. Watt, 19 sacks.
I know that. I get it.
Crosby,
that's the
Garrett,
toughest one.
Sixth and seventh.
That's the toughest one. And we'll ask Gerald McCoy his thoughts on this when he joins us. Coach of the year? My coach of the year was Dan Campbell going in, but I would... And it's John Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, Kyle Shanahan, and Kevin Stefanski. When it's all said and done, I would give it to Stefanski. I'd have voted him.
McVay, snub.
Well, I mean, Shanahan.
And yeah, guy's a super team.
I know it, but they
should be good.
You don't just roll the footballs out when you're a one seed. John Harbaugh was incredible. And Dan Campbell is a guy who may win it because he has that team completely turned around, and this is the year of their turnaround being official, and his personality year, and also his smarts too, and D'Amico Ryans, what a turnaround that is as well, and what a great season they did have. But Stefanski had four quarterbacks.
That's crazy.
Lost his top running back early on. And then damn near, he did make the playoffs with Joe Flacco. Honestly, how the hell did they do that? How many teams would have been out 15 ways to Sunday, not an 11-win team?
Great question.
And again, you cannot take into account the fact that the Texans curb stomped them in that wild card game, because you have to put in your vote before the playoffs.
You take the playoffs into consideration, Andy Reid probably should get a lot of love.
Well, I mean, you take the playoffs in consideration, then obviously Dan Campbell and D'Amico Ryans would split my vote. But you got to give it to Stefanski, right?
I think so.
I mean, goodness gracious. Deshaun, then a rookie, then P.J. Walker, then Deshaun, and then suddenly Deshaun's gone, and then you go with Flacco? And you don't skip a beat. Nick Chubb goes out too. Get out of here.
That was the big one.
Come on. And the running game still looks terrific. And the passing game too. So those will be my votes. What say you? Hour three coming up.
You know, what we did at the middle of the season, you, Chris, and I, we all did our middle of the season awards, who we thought would.
Yeah.
And I think I had Lamar at MVP, Cheetah at Offensive Player of the Year, Miles at DPOY, and I had D'Amico Ryans as coach.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely did. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jahmyr Gibbs, Sam Laporta, Puka Nacua, CJ Stroud, and congratulations to Bijan Robinson still making that mix.
Wow. I mean, that's got to be CJ, right?
I love Puka Nacua.
Yeah, that's my man. He was on my team, too.
But CJ Stroud did stuff at quarterback we may never see a rookie do again. I would vote for C.J. Stroud, and I would have done it before the playoffs, too.
I mean, Puka only set the record.
I know, brother. I know it. Yards. I get it.
60-year-old record.
Will they split it? But C.J., it's a quarterback-driven league, man.
We make it seem like quarterback's the Stroud, most important position.
He didn't play the whole year.
I know. I get it. And Defensive Rookie of the Year, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Joey Porter Jr., Devin Witherspoon, and Kobe Turner. I'd go Kobe Turner for the Rams.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was. I think he was a standout.
I'd say him or Joey Porter.
No, I'd go Turner. So that's where I would go. And assistant coach of the year, Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, Todd Monken, Jim Schwartz, Bobby Slowick. Wow, that's a tough one too. But I think maybe you go with one of the Ravens coaches there, right? Gerald McCoy coming up, hour number three.